I am happy to be here. I am honored to be here. I'm just happy to be used for God and by God. I'm happy for this church and whatever you do. We never really know how the gospel goes out there. And one of the best times I got to hear the gospel this year was through this church. I think it was Brother Jonathan Elliott was teaching here about when we pray thing. And I was very far away and I still got to hear what you got to hear. So I'm happy to be here. My name is Alfred Jones Olonde. I prefer Jones than Olonde. That's what I go by. I come from Kenya. That's East Africa, 8,000 miles from here. I am a member of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Kenya. I grew up in a Christian environment, in fact, a Christian family. My mom and dad are Christians. My dad is a pastor. So the moment I was able to see the light as a young child, you had to go to church. Whether you understood why you had to go, you just had to go there. So at a young age, I got to hear the gospel, and with very many pastor's children, you can get so used to the gospel and you can become numb to the gospel. Because you can have an idea of what the gospel is. So for a long time, I was lost. But to me, I was okay because I was doing all that was required of me at that particular age. I didn't end up in very many troubles. I was disciplined. And that to some meant probably I'm saved. But it was until in 2003 that I had the gospel. And it made me aware that I was lost. Made me aware of my destination. In the revival that we had that year, one question that they asked is, if you were to die today, are you sure of where you're going to spend your eternity? And that question really bothered me because I was not sure. My instincts told me, you have to get out of here. So I tried to get out of the service, hoping that if I stay away from it, then that voice will die down or die off and I don't have to hear it again. That was the longest night I ever had. Went back to the house, still troubled, with still the same question. If I was to die, then I knew I was going to hell. Came back on Sunday morning, the 16th of November, 2003. And the gospel was still the same. But this time round, I had nowhere to run to. No door to go out to. I just found myself at the altar. How I got there, I don't know. I just found myself at the altar, just praying and seeking God, asking him to grant me the peace that the brethren were talking about. I came at the altar really troubled. I left the altar with joy, peace, unspeakable. And if you ask me the same question, if I was to die today, well, I could go, I know. Because Christ lives in my heart. Later in 2011, the Lord will call me to preach. And again, this is the problem with pastors' kids. I'd seen too much that he wanted that kind of thing. There are many things I wanted to become, but a preacher was not one of them. Because I'd seen the frustration that my parents sometimes had to go through. And I tried bargaining with the Lord that I'm fine just singing, I'm fine just being in any other part. So for 2 years, I never told that I was called to preach. But again, in 2013, I could run no more. I told of my call. And since that day, I have had joy. My biggest problem was I am a very silent person and a shy person. I'm not very talkative. But you know what? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So with that, I'll just go ahead and tell you what the Lord has put in my heart tonight. We're going to get a reading from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, from verses 1 to verse 11. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when he had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus took down with his fingers wrote on the ground, as though he had them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which had it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. If I were to ask you of your understanding of God, everyone will give me a different perspective depending on their relationship with God. Some will say, God is infinite. That is, God is self-existing. Some will say God is immutable. That is, he never changes. That as men change and things change, God does not change. Some will say God is self-sufficient. He has no needs. Unlike man, we have very many needs that can never be fulfilled. God is omnipotent, is powerful. God is omniscient, all-knowing. I will tell you that God is never surprised.
Even as the world struggles with new things and new invention, God already knows. He can never be surprised. Even with our situation, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is wise. He is full of perfect, unchanging wisdom. God is faithful. He is infinitely, unchangingly true. God is good. God is gracious. God is loving. God is holy. God is just. God is glorious. Everyone has an account of God depending on how he has encountered God in his or her life. And I agree with all this account. But if you ask me, what is this one thing that I love so much about God? I will tell you, my God is merciful. I can talk about anything else, but when I think about God's mercy, I can never really have the exact word. In Exodus 34, Moses says, the Lord God, is merciful and gracious. In 2 Samuel, it says, with the merciful, you will show yourself mercy. In Psalms 25, it says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. God is mercy. In Psalms 89, he says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. We cannot separate God and his mercy. In fact, I will say, God himself is mercy. God does not only produce mercy towards us. His mercy is in himself. You say, what has that got to do with me? Well, I'll tell you. In the reading that I just took, it introduces to us an occasion in the life of Christ. Christ is at Mount Olives. And they bring to Christ a woman caught in adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees bring this woman to Jesus. Still, what does that got to do with me? I want to tell you, my friends, the Bible makes it clear that we have an accuser. The scribes and the Pharisees bring this woman with accusation. In Job's encounter, we see the accuser. In Revelation, he says, the accuser of our brethren, he accuses us day and night. So the similarity here is we both have an accuser. The woman had an accuser in the name of the scribes and the Pharisees. And we have an accuser in the name of Satan. What does that got to do with me? The difference between us and the woman is that the woman was caught. That is the only difference. And it becomes the difference, and we are yet to be caught just because of the long-suffering nature of God. That is the only difference. The woman was caught and brought before Jesus. But because nobody sees us and nobody has caught us, does not mean we are innocent. It is because of the long-suffering nature of God and that his will that no man should perish and that all men should come to repentance That is why we are yet to face him. We have an accuser. The woman had an accuser. But what is the accusation? She was caught. Well, the accuser also has an accusation against us. The woman is accused according to the law commanded by Moses. But we are accused according to the known law of God, the word of God itself. In the garden, the Bible says, man voluntarily transgressed the known law of God. And as a result, all men are counted sinners. Young, old, man, woman, all men are accounted sinners. In David's account, he says, in sin was I conceived. All men are born in sin. Why do I need to be saved? All men are born in sin. All men are counted sinners. No man does good. No, not one. So I cannot say that I don't need Christ. I cannot say that I am right with God. Because the law of God makes it very clear that no man does good. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All men stand condemned before God. Through one man, sin entered the world. No one can say in himself that I have not sinned. The woman is brought before Jesus because she has been caught in an act of adultery. And our sin brings us before God. What does sin do? Sin brings enmity with God. Sin separated us from God. We are lost and undone. We stand before him, condemned. But the scribes and the Pharisees not only bring the accusation, they go on ahead and say the punishment, the penalty for such sin. They say, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What does the word of God say about a sinner? Is there a penalty stated in the Bible about a sinner? Where does a sinner go? Who does a sinner deserve? The woman, by law, deserves death by stoning. What do you and I deserve? Hell. Eternity in hell. We deserve condemnation. We deserve to perish. We are not very different from this woman. We are just the same. And you will say, I have done no sin. You are born in sin. I have followed the law. What about the law of the Spirit? Because many people come to Christ and say, there's nothing wrong I have done. Yes, you have done something. The woman deserved by law to be stoned to death. We deserve death. We deserve hell. We deserve to perish. We deserve farmer's wife. But here comes in one of my favorite scriptures. Lamentation 3:22. It is of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. Because his compassion fail not, they are new every morning. We are lost and undone. We are separated from God. The only thing that we can stand on before God is the mercy of God himself. It is of the mercy of God that we are not consumed. How does God show us his mercy? How is his mercy revealed? His mercy is revealed in Christ Jesus. His mercy is revealed on the cross of Calvary. Christ taking my place, taking your place, dying a death that you and I deserve. Christ paying the penalty, becoming the ransom, the propitiation for our sin. That is what we deserve. But Christ's is mercy is shown by him who knew no sin was made sin. His mercy is revealed by him becoming a curse, crucified on a tree. His mercy is revealed when he completes the plan of salvation. He is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Justice called, but mercy answered. Justice, the justice of God was fulfilled in Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And there could be no found any blood that could bring us to salvation, not by the blood of goats and bulls, but by the blood of the most begotten of the Father. He shows his mercy towards us by taking our place and dying a sinful and cruel death on the cross. And it is because of what he did that now I tell you again my other favorite verse, Hebrews 4. Now, therefore, we can come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy. Christ, having fulfilled the law and dying by his grace, now you and I, who deserve worse, can now boldly come before the throne of God that we may receive mercy. I have never heard or seen a man who has gone before God and pleaded for mercy and his life has remained the same. The only prayer that God can listen to from as a wretched man as I am is a call of mercy. I can go to God and ask for justice. I can go to God and ask for equality. I can go to God in any other way except calling for his mercy. Mercy. In the Bible gives an account of people who went to God for many things. But I want to show you certain people who cried to God for mercy. Jesus, walking in the streets, there he finds a blind man. This blind man hears about Jesus visiting his city. And his faith begins to be stirred that he must regain his sight. What does he do? He makes a cry. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. My Bible tells me that man, through his call for mercy, was able to regain his sight. justice called, mercy answered. In Psalms, we get the story of David and Prophet Nathan. The prophet having told David of how he has transgressed the law of God. What prayer does David make in Psalms 51, verses 1 to 7? He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your abundant mercy. The only thing, the only prayer that we as sinners can call for before God is a call for mercy. In Matthew, you find the story of a Canaanite woman. This woman, her daughter was sick and grievously sick. And by virtue of her being a Canaanite woman, because it is before the Great Commission, there was no way she could be helped, because when Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them to the house of Israel. And this woman, not being an Israelite, by being a Canaanite, there was no way he could intervene in her matters. But when this woman came before Jesus, she made a prayer in Matthew 15. He says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously sick. If you read through it, eventually that daughter became well. It was a cry for mercy. Mercy. Oh, I love about mercy. I want to finish tonight with a parable that Jesus makes. And here you find two types of prayers in Luke 18. There are two men that went to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and another one a publican. If you know anything about Pharisees, you'll understand that they are self-righteous, more interested in the outward, giving a head knowledge of understanding of God. The Pharisees who want to dress in a certain way to just show off that they are right with God, want to pray loudly so that people can know that they are prayerful, want to do rituals and fast just for show off. The Pharisee comes to pray, but it's more a prayer of justice. It's a prayer of, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this, therefore I deserve better. In his prayer, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. He says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, and just, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, he's saying, look at me. Look at all I have done. Look at my sacrifices. But I thank the Lord that salvation is by grace and not by works, that any man should boast. There is nothing you can do by your own individual self to attain salvation. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that all our works of righteousness are like filthy rags before the eyes of God. But listen, the second prayer is a prayer by a publican. A publican was not a very good person then. They were looked upon to be evildoers. They didn't have very many friends. And therefore this publican had nothing to boast of before God. See, the publican standing far off, he didn't want even to come near because he knew who he was. You must know who you are. And the only way you can know who you are is by God revealing it to you. And he does it through the gospel, because the gospel is a mirror. It shows you before God we are naked and there is nothing we can hide from God. David says, where can I hide myself from thee? In the cave you see me. Everywhere I go, you see me. There is nothing hidden in the sight of God. We are open books before him. The publican standing far off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He didn't have that confidence to lift up his eyes unto heaven, for he knew who he was. Not proud. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Not very many words. Not very many works. Not very many things, but he just made a simple and powerful prayer. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Well, I don't know how to pray. Can be your excuse. The Lord will give you utterance. I pray tonight that if you're here and you're lost in your trespasses, his mercies are new every morning. Bible tells us that the scribes and the Pharisees went before Jesus hoping for justice. My Bible tells me again that we have an advocate with the Father. What does the advocate do? If none of you has any sin, throw the first one. Jesus not only is the advocate, but he is our justifier. He's also our sanctifier. When we stand before God, don't stand before him because of anything that we have done. Our righteousness is the righteousness of God. I'm happy that the Lord is still in the business of saving his people. I'm happy that you can be able to call upon his name and he can be able to answer you. I am happy that as long as Christ is still seated on the mercy seat, you can still call for mercy. I pray that you not let this chance pass. If you are lost in your trespasses, please seek. Could we please have a song, and brother, you can come and continue. God bless you.
Lord bless, that was good. That was good stuff. If the Lord's dealing with you tonight, I ask you to seek God. You heard the message of truth. And I'm thankful that I know the same merciful God that this brother here does tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord showed me mercy. Still thankful for that mercy. Stand, and if the Lord's dealing with you, seek God tonight while you got an opportunity. Go ahead, brother.
Number 36, everybody stand. We're going to need a little bass and alto. Number 36.